All right, man, welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 691. Jason Lindgren is with me. Jeff Nunn returns, as does Marion Gentry. We're going to talk about a lot of things today. We'll get into some addiction information, which is kind of important. So many people are addicted to so many things these days. We're going to talk about peptides, but up front, we're going to introduce the guests and we're going to be offering some of their products, which we'll link off the sponsorship page. We'll get to that in a minute. And welcome, Jason.
And a very hot good afternoon.
Actually, we are raining again and we got a full week of it. Anyhow, why don't we start with you, Jeff? Welcome aboard. Please tell us where we can find your stuff, your website, and what you're offering.
Yes, thank you, Crow. You can find me at projectbiohacking.com. It's a site where I publish peptide education, dosing calculators, vendor reviews, third-party testing, just everything you need to know about peptides and biohacking, as well as coaching, and actually even an ebook.
So actually, while we're with you, so what we're going to do is we're going to create a link to you, Jeff, on the sponsorship page. And for members of Crow 777 Radio, you'll get a 20% discount on coaching for peptides. So everything you don't know, you can find out that way. All right, you're up, Marion. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. My website is www.directionwithpurpose.com. I have an Instagram, which is Marion's_everything_coffee. I don't yet have an X, so that probably will be coming. But and then, of course, I have a Facebook page, which is Direction with Purpose.
All right. So, Marion, with you, I think what we're going to do from the sponsorship page is there's going to be two links. One is going to go to your very popular enema kits, which is the one we have now, lands you right on that page. And the other one is going to be to the detox kit, which we're adding today. And again, membership gets a 10% discount. Did I drop anything there?
No, nope, that's it.
All right. Well, let's jump in right out of the gate on addiction. There is so much addiction in our world right now. And what I'm noticing is with the era shift and the kind of consciousness boost we see so many people participating in, many people are trying to break addictions. So let's jump in. Who wants to pick it up?
I'll jump in real quick, since that's kind of on my mind. There's a ban in Texas on 7-OH, which is a derivative from kratom. And it's a synthetic that is incredibly powerful. As a matter of fact, it's 15 times to 50 times, depending on the derivative that you have, more powerful than heroin or morphine. And so what's going to happen at the end of this month is the people that have been buying this over-counter at a gas station or wherever are going to get stuck in basically opioid withdrawals, and they won't be able to do much about it. Some of them don't even know it's going to hit. So from a peptide standpoint, from a supplement standpoint, sleep, there are some things that can be done out there to help people get through this. And first of all, if you're going through this, get with a physician, because this stuff is dangerous. But you're going to want to know about things like Salank, which is a peptide for anxiety. It'll also help you sleep. And there is also a peptide on the FDA list that actually didn't make it this last week. And that's DSIP, stands for Delta Sleep Inducing Peptide, which puts you in deep sleep and restorative sleep, which is what you need to be able to get over it. Because a lot of times, well, all the time, when someone goes through withdrawal, they're not able to sleep. And that causes more and more and more problems. So also BPC-157, that can help with seizure type issues and things going on in the mind, as well as the stomach going through the withdrawal. So some of the most important things about making it through the withdrawal is getting the sleep right and being able to rest your body. And I think that Marion can talk about the detoxing side of it and what she would do.
So let me jump in for a minute. I'm very impressed that you mentioned sleep first. I have direct experience with opioid addiction, and I've seen people go through it. I've gone through it. And the biggest thing that I had to deal with was you can't sleep. And in my case, it could have been for weeks or longer. And so are you saying that some of the treatments here will get you some rest right out of the gate? Is it something that you work into, or how does it go?
Yes. So something like Salank will relax you enough to get you to sleep. There are other things that will help you get to sleep. There are some amino acids formulations for sleep that have a small amount of melatonin, GABA, and about two or three other amino acids that will relax your blood vessels and dilate them so that you can get the rest. Once you get to sleep, this is where the DSIP comes in. And that will put you in deep, deep, slow wave sleep is what it is. And that is the reparative sleep that your body needs to be able to recover. Without that sleep, you can't recover. And trying to get that sleep as you're going through withdrawals, literally it takes forever for your body to get to the point where it can get that kind of deep sleep. So getting you there is one thing, and that's the precursors to that. Amino acids, you take glycine would be something great to take for that. Magnesium L-threonate is great for the mind. Magnesium glycinate as well. So you take the things to be able to relax your body to a point so you can sleep. But once you get there, the key thing is that DSIP. In Russia, that's what DSIP is a prescription for. And the FDA just basically said, no, we're going to pass on this one out of the seven that they looked at. This was last week.
So Rose just reminded me, we had Clive on. We've talked about addiction a couple times with Clive. Do you agree with this, Jeff? One of the things he recommends is some pretty serious doses of amino acids, selenium, and L-tryptophan.
Yes, yes. So L-tryptophan, there are precursors to L-tryptophan you can take as well. 5-HTP, I believe, is one of them. But selenium, of course, I mean, you need that. Boron, things that would also get into detoxing you. Chelation type supplements. Maybe I like spirulina and chlorella and things of that nature.
So are these things that you would provide at all, Jeff?
No, I would suggest them. Everything that I do is focused on peptides.
Okay.
But from a biohacking standpoint, when you go through coaching, it's so much more than that.
All right. Just so people know, we do have a link to Clive and he does provide these things. I get selenium and a couple other things from him. But I've got to mention, this is diabolical for a legislature to know about the addiction problem and then to cut it off. It's almost like they're purposely manufacturing misery to be harvested. But let's jump over to you, Marion. If I remember correctly, I'm referring out of the gate to your coffee enemas. I think Charlotte Gerson claimed in her book, it's been years since I read it, but I think she claimed she took people off heroin addictions with no come down in 3 days. Do you recall her saying that?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I do. And I still kind of work with people that have these addictions from many things. And the coffee enema is phenomenal, as you know.
Yep.
And they work in so many different ways. And as I was talking to Jeff, you know, cleaning the pathways with the coffee enema allows the peptides to where they need to go and clean up what's, you know, the residual that the coffee enemas may be able to do. So I think anyone with addiction, anyone that's battling thing, even smoking, drinking, much to some people's, oh my God, I can't give up wine. But anyway, they'll reduce the craving for anything. So the coffee enemas are just amazing in my book, and it's definitely a place to start.
Well, I ran into it. I must have been in my late 30s, and I tried. I got Charlotte Gerson's book. I went down into San Diego and actually met her. She had an office down, I think, 2nd Street. She was forced to run the clinic out of Tijuana because it was illegal to do juicing and enemas in this country to fight cancer. But the first time that I did it correctly, I don't want to be rude, but what came out of me, it was like Ghostbusters. It was astonishing. And I always wonder, had I not done that all those years ago, all that stuff, all these years later, would still be in me. In other words, the coffee clean out, I don't think there's any substitute that I'm aware of.
Right. And I don't either. And I need to just mention, most of what I'm probably going to talk about, apart from the peptide side, would be in my original podcast with you, which is episode 406. That is phenomenal. And we got so much back from that particular episode. However, not all coffees are created equal, because I create green coffee. A lot of people now putting out regular coffee and it claiming it's going to be used for detox. It does not. And the green coffee enema is unroasted. The coffee I produced way back in the day is not roasted, because you need palmitates in the coffee to the bile ducts to carry the toxins into the bloodstream and consequently into the toilet. So the palmitate we have in our coffee is what creates a huge detox. And it can be subtle or it can be violent. You had an experience similar to my experience, and it took me about 3 months to get from feeling totally sick, gross, to where I am, why I produce the coffee enema kit. Mine was a little bit like, I'd say Ghostbusters. It was like a machine gun came out, went everywhere. Horrible.
It was like the slime gag you see on Nickelodeon for me. And I was still relatively young, but I felt like I was 16 years old again within an hour. I felt completely, I mean, detoxed. I don't know how else to say it. But Charlotte, who wrote the book, and when I read that, I thought, come on, someone with a heroin addiction, you're taking them off it in 3 days with no horrible come down. But I believe it, because you're literally cleaning everything out.
Yes. And also remember the coffee enemas. And back in the day, I was selling my own coffee to the Gerson Institute. It's more, but it raises the nervous system. And also, because it has a morphine, helps with pain. So someone going through chronic pain, and I believe she was giving the addicts like 5 a day. They would 5 coffee enemas a day with 2-hour intervals. And then, you know, also adding in some electrolytes for them.
And the juice.
Yeah, and the juice. So, which of course create electrolytes. But you can do that. And that's what I've done with chronically ill clients, is on or were on 5 a day. You gradually come down from that. But if you're trying to wean off medication, any addiction, you've got to introduce more than 1 a day and stay on it for at least 30 days so the body can completely heal. But yes, for about 2 or 3, 4 days, you notice significantly how it helped. And like I said, it helps with the nervous system, so it's calming. And once you start cleaning out your liver and emptying your gallbladder, it will feel almost like when you release everything, it's like coming from brains. It's like your heart head is emptying all the way through your body. It's the most amazing feeling. And the fact that it does have a morphine effect is huge for anyone that is trying to wean off medication or trying to wean off anything at all.
So, Marion, there's a couple things we should bring up. What I have heard is that Charlotte Gerson, after she died, corporations have gotten a hold of what she had and that it's no longer what it once was. Have you heard that? Are you aware of that?
Yes, definitely. When Charlotte Gerson was alive, she was adamant about her father's protocol, which was Max Gerson. She didn't deviate from that at all. She knew it was working. She knew that through her experience, everything was working fine, and she didn't deviate. So when she actually got sick and stopped, I think maybe some family members had taken over, but it basically was taken over by a corporation. And it is no longer what her vision for the Institute is. It's completely different, totally different. So it's not the same. So, but the original book that you're talking about, Crow, that she wrote, the original protocol is all in there. So I would suggest to anyone that is still looking for that, that that's the way to go. Now, the Gerson Institute did give me what they called their little handbook, like a protocol book, and they even stopped printing that. So they gave one copy to me and gave me the go-ahead to print or do whatever I did with it. So what I did, I created an ebook, and of course I added to it. There are diagrams on there that you can see. And of course it takes you right back to the original information as to why coffee enemas, how they came about from World War One. Of course, enemas and coffee enemas have been around since time immemorial, but the Gerson one, the story is all in my ebook, and of course the recipe and a bunch of other stuff. And that will be a giveaway for me to your listeners when they ever email me for it. So that's there.
So anyone out there listening who's doing what I started doing some years ago, basically taking responsibility for my own health and stop putting 100% of what I considered responsibility onto men in white lab coats. The book is called Healing the Gerson Way. And as Marion mentioned, it's got all the right, it's got everything. And by the way, when I went down and met Charlotte at her office, she lived it. They had, I was there for a couple of hours. They had one, she had six meals a day, I think it was, if I remember correctly. But they had a meal while we were there and invited us. And it was straight out of the Gerson book. She lived it. But the other thing I want to mention is with your coffee enema, you did tests to ensure that you had increased the levels of what matters most to get the enemas to be effective. And I think it's important to make that point because I see people going and getting a big tub of household coffee from the grocery store. First of all, that's not organic. So it's probably got glyphosate or Lord knows what in it. And secondarily, in the Gerson book, when you're doing that, what is it? I think it's like a 20 or a 30 minute boil. Marion, is that right from the Gerson book?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Right. But with yours, you're doing just quickly explain the boil on yours.
Okay. So the coffee is green. It's like a yellow color. And just to add that it will stain. So please do not get it on any white towels or white marble in your bathroom. It will stain. So the concept is you get distilled water and you have 32 ounces. Bring that water to a boil, turn it down slightly and add 3 tablespoons of the green coffee slowly because it will start to boil over. Then you turn it to a kind of a low boil. You can see it's bubbling, but it's not crazy. And you do that for 3 minutes without the lid. And that allows the oils from the coffee to escape. Then you put the lid back on and turn it to a simmer for 15 minutes. You will lose some liquid in the evaporation process. So once you take it off the stove, you can just top it back up with distilled water. You do not have to reboil it. You let it cool, you strain it, and maybe just a couple of times will work. And then it's ready to go. Make sure that the temperature's right for you. Generally, what I do is I make it the night before. Then I turn it off. I leave it on the stove to cool down overnight. In the morning, I strain it. And then it's generally ready for me to go. Or if I'm going to do it late in the afternoon, I'll put it in the fridge. And then I'll take it out, warm it through. That feels good to my finger. And then I will get in the bathroom and I will do it. It's good to say that you can make the coffee 24 hours ahead of time, but after that, it won't be any good. So you can make it ahead of time, keep it in the fridge for 24 hours, but that's it.
And I will mention you could drink it, but it tastes ghastly and it is extremely strong from a caffeine feel level.
Yeah.
But before I jump back over to Jeff, I want to mention how effective is the Gerson method and the coffee enemas we're talking about here. When I went down to Charlotte's office, there was a lady working in there that had worked with her for years, and she started going on about how her face had been destroyed. And I finally interrupted her and I said, I don't see anything wrong with your face. And she says, don't you see the scars? And I leaned in and maybe in one little place, I could see the faintest line. And she opened up her wallet and described that when she was 18 or something like that, she put her face through the windshield of a car in a car accident. And she showed me the images. Her whole face was spider webbed with stitching scars and everything that were years old. And what she told me was after 10 or 15 years of having those scars, the Gerson method almost completely removed those scars. So what we're talking about here is a very powerful thing, but I want to jump back over to Jeff. Jeff, I used to think that kratom could play an important role in getting people off opioids, but that was before I realized that what they were saying about kratom isn't true. You can get addicted to just plain kratom. So I think it's critical that these other methods are brought forward. Are you familiar with people just being addicted to straight powdered kratom?
Yes, and I've taken kratom before.
So have I.
I think it's fantastic, personally. That's the leaf. You may have some sort of cravings afterwards if you're just taking the leaf, but it's not like you got to have it or you're going to die. It doesn't seem like that.
No, not like opioids.
Not like opioids, but this version, this synthetic version, is so powerful. It is incredibly addictive. And I don't know where the line can be drawn between the two as far as how much of the leaf you have to take, because everybody's different. And to get whatever you're looking for, whether it's to be able to sleep or to be able to concentrate on it, you may need 2 capsules, you may need 4 capsules or whatever. It's a difficult thing to judge from person to person. But I think that when people start taking the leaf and they like the effects of it, then they're like, well, hey, what about this? And they jump into the synthetic. But she said, you know, it kind of reminds me of what was going on with the synthetic marijuana years and years ago, where it really wasn't THC. It was just synthetics that got people incredibly addicted to it. Very similar to what's going on with this.
I didn't even know that that was a thing. I hadn't even heard of that. So correct me then, do you feel like just like the thing that gets me is back when it was really popular, there were so many people bringing it in from so many places. And I always wondered, you know, what quality, what are you getting here? But do you feel like just standard leaf kratom, like you might get in a capsule, does that play any valuable role in breaking an opioid addiction?
I believe it can.
Okay.
It will take away cravings, very similar to something like a GLP-1 will also take away cravings, and it's being studied for that.
Well, it fills a similar receptor. Is that correct?
Right, right.
So what I found is the people coming off opioids, because I had told a lot of people about it back when kratom first started to gain popularity and there was all the questions of whether they were going to make it illegal or not. What I found is they started taking it hand over fist.
Yes.
Trying to get back to that opioid feeling, which is never going to happen.
Yes. And in my experience, there's a point of diminishing returns with the leaf. You can take too much of it and feel really nauseous and nasty and have diarrhea and all kind of stuff. So to me, someone who is apt to addictions, it would be really hard to jump from one thing over to kratom and take too much of it and get sick.
Okay, so before we jump off addiction, I just want to ask, you can just yes or no these. Were the treatments that we're talking about with peptides and the things we also added a few of Clive's things in, tell me if they will help with an alcohol addiction, yes or no?
Yes.
How about a heroin addiction?
Yes.
How about other types of pharmaceutical pills other than opioids?
Yep.
How about marijuana?
For sure.
That's another thing. People have told me all my life, marijuana is not addictive. I've found a lot of people who can't get off it with a similar complaint. They can't sleep anymore if they do.
Right.
Before we move off of this, we should really talk about what 7-OH is, though, and why it's getting banned in the United States.
Yeah, so it's basically, you know, again, coming back to it, it's the synthetic version of kratom. It's taken from a leaf and synthesized.
And this whole situation's really bad. We're probably going to see the suicide rates go up a lot because they're going to be banning it. It's almost like being able to get heroin at a gas station. So all these people are going to be going through withdrawals in Texas, which is why we're bringing it up. So this 7-OH is a synthetic version, and it's stronger than heroin, and a whole lot of people are addicted to it right now.
So I wasn't even aware of this. So when you take this, it gets you high like heroin would?
Yeah, it's 17 times stronger in some forms. So it's called 7-hydroxymetrogyne.
That's the derivative from the kratom active component.
Right. Well, not as much. So the mu opioid active alkaloid found in trace amounts in the kratom leaf. So it's in trace amounts. It's not in a huge concentrated pill.
So, I mean, is it just capsules, or when you go into a gas station, how is it being purveyed to the people?
They actually put the name of it on there and market it as pick me up or whatever.
So it's like a capsule that you swallow?
Yeah.
And like how many are, like, is it they sell them one or two at a time, or are they selling bottles?
Yeah, they sell them in packages. So I'm familiar with this because I have a friend that is caught up in this. Someone I don't really talk to anymore. But I've seen her receipts and she spends like $300 or $400 a month on it. And the amount that's in them, there's like three or four different versions. One is stronger than the other. There's one that is like 15 times more powerful than morphine. There's ones that's 50 and one, I think, that's 70 times. So the addiction that people are going through, they need to be talking to a physician because it's going to get that bad. Basically, there are going to be suicides. I actually looked it up after I learned it was going to be going out. And it's exactly like going through a heroin withdrawal. They have them in all kinds of forms. Think about the kids in high school taking this stuff.
Rose sent me a picture and it's $34 for, I'm looking to see how many is in here. 10 servings, it says, 250 milligram pack, 50 milligram tabs. There's 10. I guess you can use 10 for $34. Where was this coming from, Jeff? Do we know who was making it, where it was coming from?
I think it's coming from all kinds of sources.
Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon?
Well, you know, when you think about, you know, things like peptides coming over from China, the fentanyl guys that were making fentanyl found that peptides are more lucrative. And so they've actually found some fentanyl and some peptide vials through testing. And it's the same thing with this. It's, you know, crime goes to wherever there's least resistance.
So just to remind everybody, we've actually discussed this on a previous show with Dr. Diana. Her now ex-fiancé, his son, went psychotic on this stuff. And it was so traumatic that they just ended up splitting up. It was just too much.
Wow.
Wow. If this doesn't underscore the situation we find all of us in, where years ago, I decided to take responsibility for my own health and start paying attention and administer to the best of my ability up to the point that I can. But look what they're doing here. When they cut this off, you're predicting suicides and everything else. But how in the hell is this stuff just being allowed to hit the shelves? I think it's pretty clear that if people want to get into trouble, they'll pave the road for that.
Well, right now, there are 6 states that have it as a controlled substance. Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Louisiana, Vermont, and Wisconsin. And as of July 1st, 2026, the DEA is going to temporarily schedule 70H and related substances to protect public safety.
Yeah, the American Kratom Association is siding with the DEA. So it's not like it's something that the people that intended this product to be out there are all about. They want it stopped.
Well, it's not really Kratom, is it?
No.
Unbelievable. There was a day in this country when things like that wouldn't have been allowed to hit the streets. But I guess the main point here is if you're suffering from addiction or you know someone who is, you have avenues to try to get help and deal with it. And we've laid them down here. You can use our contact at the website, contact me or Rose. We'll steer you in the right direction, or you can go straight to the sponsorship page and we'll have the links up by the time this goes. Jason, do you have something more to add here in the addiction area?
Just for the heck of it, I did ask the last time I was in our local head shop kind of thing called the Raw Shop here. There's a bunch of them around Louisiana. And they used to sell it and they blatantly told me, nope, you can't get that in Louisiana anymore. So it's been cracked down on.
Well, I'm curious. So this thing that Rose sent me the picture of, you get 10 servings. So if you do one serving, are you like high?
I've never taken it. I would assume you are.
I'm guessing it doesn't take very long before your sleep is interrupted too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the hugest hurdles for so many of the pharmaceutical addictions is not being able to sleep because you just can't recover. It's like torture. It is literally like torture. So it's fantastic to lay down things that may be solutions for folks out there. All right, before we move on, anything more people want to add on addiction?
Yes, here in South Carolina and Georgia, you can buy peptides at the gas station, telling people to stay away because, you know, they're probably coming from China, Mexico, wherever, and they're going to be heavy metals, all kinds of stuff. You don't know what you're getting, but they are available right there at the checkout.
Looks like it was common in a lot of places for a while.
All right, well, I'll kick it over to you, Marion. What would you like to tackle next?
Where are we? Okay, let's talk about what's common today, the GLPs. And I should have mentioned this earlier. The coffee enema, as we know, cleans out the liver and the gallbladder, and it allows fecal matter to be eliminated from the body. So anything that's been congealed and gunked up inside of you for years and years will, you know, just flow freely and it'll be gone. And by the way, coffee enemas do not affect a regular bowel movement, which is a myth, and people seem to think that it does, and it does not. And it's not there to just clean the colon. It is there to detox the liver and the gallbladder. So the GLP-1s, the most common that people are coming to me with is that they cannot move their bowels. So consequently, they're all constipated. They're trying to eat and get enough protein in their body, and it's not happening. So they're not moving anything. And Jeff is an expert on how the sludge and the bile gets backed up into the pancreas, which is why a lot of people ultimately are now complaining of pancreatic problems. So the coffee enemas is a must if you are on a GLP. It doesn't matter whether it's GLP 1, 2, or 3. You have to allow the body to purge and detox and get rid of that sludge. Not only that, most people on GLPs are on it to lose weight. If you do the coffee enemas and you get rid of your sludge, you will see that you're probably going to come down a few pounds. The other thing I like to mention, and Jeff will probably talk about it, is you should not be on a GLP-1 consistently. You need to be on it and kind of rotate on it for 8 weeks, off for 8 weeks, on it for 8 weeks, off for 8 weeks. So you allow the pathways to regenerate and rebuild. The other thing that I recommend people to do, which is what I did, I always had some visceral fat around my midriff area. I was not really fat, but I always had some visceral fat around like your stomach area, what we call our midriff, and maybe some back fat that I hated. So what I did, Jeff recommended this to me, was to get on tesamorelin, Moxie, and I think I did AOD for energy. What they are, they're not GLPs, but what they do is they melt the visceral fat from the inside out. And it was the most amazing thing for me. I just carried on doing them. I did 5 days on, 2 days off. And I remember thinking, what the heck? No midriff, no back fat. It was amazing. And it did. It was nothing. It was like life went on and then the fat was disappearing. So maybe you want to touch on that a little bit more, Jeff.
Well, before Jeff jumps in, I want to ask Jason, do you want to add anything experientially here, Jason, about the GLP?
Well, I've been on the GLP-3, retatrutide, for about 6 months or so now. And I am somewhere around 40 pounds down at this point, which is absolutely wonderful.
Life-changing.
That is awesome. Yeah. What about the visceral fat, Jason? Do you notice that, yes, you lost weight, but you're kind of your midriff and your middle area?
Well, that's primarily where I carry most of my weight. So I'm definitely slimmer. I can fit in clothes that I haven't in several years. So it's slowly but surely going away. And I like the fact that it's going slow because I don't want to have any skin issues. Not that I was even really that big to begin with. Okay. I was just kind of husky all over. And it's just my whole body is slimming down. The shirt sizes I was wearing are all getting very, very loose on me now. So yeah, it's really working.
Are you doing any other peptides apart from retatrutide?
We had been doing CJC1295, but we haven't in a while, but we're going to add that back in again because that is good stuff.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Is there anything, Jason, you'd add about the usage, how to use it in the schedule? Have you dialed that in with anything to share?
Yeah, the way I do it is every other day I'm taking an injection of it. I usually do it in my upper thigh because I don't really feel anything there, or very minimally anyway. I started back in the day early on. I think I started at 20 units based off of the formula that I had originally found. And I'm up to 50 units now. I slowly increased it as I thought I wasn't seeing the same level of weight loss. So that is where I'm at now. I have been for quite a few weeks now, and I'm still losing. Every week it's a little bit more and a little bit more. So it's a very slow but steady decline in weight. So that's exactly what I want, again, so that there's no skin issues or anything like that.
Knowing what you know now, if you were just starting for the first time, what kind of schedule for usage would you employ?
Well, that's the one that seemed to work the best, is just every other day, so like twice a week, basically. And that seems to work. I know sometimes like people who are on the GLP-1, they're only taking it once a week. This is what seems to work for me. Now, everybody's body's different, so you might need to experiment. I mean, and this is just what I figured out over the months of using it. So everyone might be different. If you're a bigger person, maybe you might need to do more. If you're a smaller person, you might need to do less.
Any downside or do's or don'ts you would add?
The only negative consequence that I have come across so far is that I get very powerful belches several times a day, which I assume is whatever it's doing in my guts. But it's nothing uncomfortable or painful or anything like that. But it is definitely noticeable because I was never somebody who burped constantly.
All right, we're back over to you, Jeff. Marion was throwing it your way when I pulled Jason in for the experience.
Yeah, so the GLP-1s as a category are the most dangerous of all the peptides. They have the most overdoses, period. And it's because of the way people are using them, the way they're not using them. As it slows down your gastric tract, people will snack throughout the day. And when they snack throughout the day, rather than eating as much as they can in a couple of sittings, that is taxing your bile, it's taxing your gallbladder, and it's getting sludge in that gallbladder. And as that duct goes past, empties into your small intestine, it goes past your pancreas, and you can get that sludge backed up like right there as it goes in. And part of the problem with being constipated so bad is you risk pancreatitis. So if everything's constipated and that bile is sludgy right there, the pancreatic fluids will back up into the pancreas. So as far as how people should eat, how they should exercise, what they need to be cognizant of from a lifestyle standpoint is important too. So it's something that even though you talk to a doctor about it, you better educate yourself and understand what it means for your body because everybody's different. Jason's taking a couple of doses a week, which is something that I would prefer myself. And that's the way I've done it in the past. But there are certain reasons why somebody might want to take it like once a week versus twice. And that has to do with when you start coming down off of it over a 4 or 5 day period, all of those cravings will kind of come back in a way. Maybe you want to have cheat days on weekends where you want to eat some stuff. And also taking it in a large dose once a week can exacerbate the side effects that you get and cause more problems. So people can choose, do it twice a week, do it once a week. Just be cognitive of your body and how you feel when you're on it. And taking things in conjunction with that, Tugka, ox bile, is something that I think everybody who's taken that should add into their protocols. So GLP-1s are a little bit more complicated than what people think they are when they first get on them. So being able to further what Marion was saying about being able to cycle off of them onto something else that will continue doing everything from a weight loss standpoint, a body composition standpoint that the GLP-1s were doing, it keeps those receptors healthy for one. So you don't have to keep taking more and more doses of it. And when you go and you optimize something like your mitochondria, you're going to be able to lose weight easier because you're not wasting energy. Your nutrients are being partitioned properly. You don't have any reactive oxygen species throwing stuff out. They'll make you ill and get you sick. So going from one kind of peptide protocol cycle to another, that they all complement it. And being able to lose the weight slowly like Jason's doing, you know, if you lose more than 2 pounds a week, chances are you're going to be losing a lot of muscle mass. So some of the problems that the people have that are on it is the GLP-1, 2, 3, it all has to do with how much of the compounds are in there from a GLP-1 standpoint, then a GLP and a GIP, and a GLP, a GIP and a glucagon. So all of those kind of have their different nuances. So be aware of what those are on what you're taking. For instance, retatrutide will increase your heart rate and your blood pressure and things of that nature. So you need to be aware, you know, is this right for me? It's difficult to get that kind of information from a doctor because it's a research peptide at this standpoint. It's still in the studies. So being able to go from one to another and keep yourself healthy when you're working on another part of your body is actually helping you lose weight as well.
So I wasn't aware. I thought I'd actually read that overdose was really unlikely with peptides. Is experience changing that idea?
When someone goes and they get some retatrutide off of a website, they don't know how to take it. They're not paying attention to anything that they're doing. The biggest mistakes that happen around people overdosing is that they get the reconstitution wrong. And so instead of, say, 20 units means that they're taking maybe 2 milligrams. So if they were to get that concentration off and say they only added like 1 ml of water instead of 2 or 3, then they would be taking twice as much or sometimes 3 times as much of what they need to be able to take. So it's mistakes at the very beginning of them doing this on their own that ends up putting them in the hospital for the most part. And also not abiding by any sort of lifestyle changes, or you still need to watch what you eat. You still need to have the right micronutrients in you from a mineral standpoint, a vitamin standpoint, and most definitely protein. So when people go into these and they see all this weight loss, they don't change anything about their lifestyle or anything about what they're doing, or really too much about what they're eating. They're just eating a little less. So they will chew through your muscle, your cartilage, your bone. You'll lose that as well. So as you progress through them, the GLP-1, you're going to lose the most muscle on that. The 2 is going to be a little bit less. And the retatrutide is much better for keeping your muscle. But when you concentrate on not losing more than 2 pounds a week, you're keeping as much of the muscle as possible. It's when you go over, when someone says, well, I lost 10 pounds last week. Well, it wasn't all fat.
Yeah. So can I just interject a little bit to clarify for some of the people out there that don't understand? GLP-1 is typically the Ozempic and the Wegovy. A GLP-2, which attacks the 2 glycagons, is typically tirzepatide. And when they hear GLP-3, that would typically be retatrutide, which takes care of all 3. Agonists, right, is what I'm saying. So depending on who you are, I think women do so much better on injecting 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Our metabolism is completely different than a man's. And I also heard, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but if you have a fatty liver and very high inflammation, you're better taking tirzepatide versus retatrutide in the beginning. Do you know anything about that, Jeff?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why. I mean, I would always start with tirzepatide. Personally, I think that that's one of the best, and it's already out in the marketplace. It's been tested over retatrutide. Retatrutide is the shiny new coin out there, and everybody's running to it, and the studies aren't even all in yet. There's been a lot of people that have had to be pulled out of the studies because of health problems with it. So tirzepatide has been tested. It's been out there in the marketplace for a long time. If I were taking something for the first time, I think I would go for that one rather than just jump into retatrutide. Just to see how your body feels. Everybody's different. So if you do really well on it, you might want to try retatrutide. But when you do, when you bump from one to another, you don't just go dose for dose. You got to trickle down off of one and then ramp up on the other one, right?
Right. Yeah, because I find most women do much better on tirzepatide in the beginning, and it has a huge effect on their appetite, and that's by doing it 3 times a week. You still take the one dose, the weekly dose, but just divide it into 3.
So, Marianne, I've got to jump in here. We're going to come to the top of the hour, and I want to make sure we get your information in before we take the break. So, Jeff, can you quickly tell us where people can find you, your website, whatnot?
Yes, you can find me on projectbiohacking.com. You can email me through the addresses there. You can join the newsletter. Please join the newsletter. I'll have an ebook in the newsletter that's free for everybody that joins. You can find me there. You can find me on any social media channel, although I have not hit those very hard. They will be populated a lot more in the future.
Marianne, the same, please.
Mine is my website, www.directionwithpurpose.com. You can find me on Instagram which is Marion's_everything_coffee, and my Facebook page, which is Direction with Purpose. And of course, always, you can just email me at marion@directionwithpurpose.com. And my phone number is on my website. So I'm always open to taking calls from people. And I always answer the phone, pretty much. If I don't answer, I always call you back.
And before we sign off, what are we going to get into for hour two?
Yes, hour two, Jeff.
So hour two, we're going to go over what the FDA came up with in their meeting on the 23rd of July, what that means for the industry, what got passed over and why I think is one of the most important, and what they said that they were going to be approving them for and what they actually do. We'll be looking at sourcing, how to read the COAs, how to check in 10 seconds whether it's good. Nobody really does this. And how I've caught labs with wrong molecules on them. Then we'll go into talking about the banking industry and how they try to make things difficult for really any supplement company or anyone that's looking for solutions to their problems.
I'd also like to touch on the soy boy idea.
Yes.
But anyhow, we're going to wrap up and break here. So for everybody listening, there are options for addiction that we didn't have not too long ago. But on the sponsorship page at crow777radio.com, there will be a link. It will be an image link to Jeff, which will get you 20% off. For Marion, there's going to be two. The one that we've been doing that goes to the enema kits, the coffee enema kits. And then there's going to be another one that has the complete detox, and that is a 10% discount. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all the forums and comments section. They get access to the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon. They get exclusive access to my current solar work, and they also get a shot at reviewing all of the image work that I've put up for people to look at or purchase if they so desire. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back for hour two, and I'd like to wish everybody everywhere a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
belief is the enemy of knowing.